It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, folks, a little bit slow. I was really trying hard to find my timer track that I made so that I wouldn't go long like I've been doing. But you know how it goes. Sometimes it takes a little bit. But welcome, welcome. It is October 12th, 2020. Oh boy, SMJ, X1, and Pizza Pal. Man, it's going to be a fun time. One of the cool things about doing the show live on and on radio is you can join in the chat. It's SSH over to SDF, and then from there, all you have to do is... Oh, sorry, I'm doing two things at once. All you have to do is type com, C-O-M, and then hit enter, then press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all in lowercase, and hit enter, and you'll be joined into the chat room. You can press H for more help, but it is pretty amazing. It's great fun, and it really brings to life a non-radio. If you're listening to a non-radio and not using com, you're missing out. So check it out. I'm currently draining my little tea ball because I don't know if you guys know this, but like Tobe, oh crap, I can't use that. Hot. I will just set this on the floor. Like Tobe got me into tea, so I found this online tea merchant and I ordered several sampler packs, but it took like I don't know, a month, 2 months to get here. I ordered some domestically and got that real quick. So anyway, I have a large sampler pack. So today I have some milk oolong tea that I brewed. I've got the second steeping, or the first real steeping after a wash. It's very light, but it's very fragrant. I'm pretty excited to try it out. Oh, Blink's here and Tobe too. Man, it is a full house. I'm so excited you guys are all here. You know what? Like always, we always start with
world news.
Yeah, we got to jump into the world news. It's important time. It's important, you see, the world. So, anywho's, let's go ahead and do that. So, boop, boop, doot, 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 doot. First up, Belarus is back in the news. The Belarus is back in town, back in town. Belarus, oh, this is sad though, of course. Oh, and Ratsu, greetings. Belarus allows police to use combat weapons at protests. So this is kind of sad. Belarus police will now be permitted to use combat weapons in the streets if needed to respond to what the Interior Ministry described as increasingly radicalized mass anti-government protests. Police said, sorry, Blink, that's not all happy. Police said that they had detained 713 people at mass protests on Sunday in which security forces used water cannon and batons to break up crowds demanding a new presidential election. Tens of thousands of Belarusians have demonstrated every weekend since August 9th election in which the president Alexander Lukashenko was declared the winner. His opponents say the result was falsified. Lukashenko denies rigging the vote. Most opposition leaders have fled the country or been arrested. So, surprise, surprise. It's pretty rough. Ooh, sliced jalapenos. So, pretty wild. You can go to Reuters to get the full story, but that's pretty much the sum of it. The Interior Minister, employees and internal troops will not leave the streets, and if necessary, will use special equipment and military weapons. So, very scary. Of course, Reuters has a couple of stories about this. The other one here is titled Police in Belarus Crack Down on Protesters and Detain Dozens. It is more about all the people that they're rounding up. But rounding up hundreds of people is definitely pretty scary. Our friends over at the AP have a story. The Czech Republic is topping record infection surge in Eastern Europe. Yeah, it's unfortunate. The Czech government announced further restrictions Thursday to contain the pandemic in the hardest-hit country in struggling Central and Eastern Europe, where a record surge of infections was also recorded in most other countries. Calling his country's record spike alarming, Health Minister Roman Primula said the Czech healthcare system has been facing a steep increase of people needing intensive care, while more COVID-19 patients have been dying. We have to limit those increases. The Czech Republic currently has more people testing positive daily than any other country in Central and Eastern Europe, even neighboring Germany, whose population is 8 times bigger. Starting Monday, all theaters, cinemas, and zoos will be closed for at least 2 weeks. We have to limit the number of people who meet each other outside their families. At the same time, all indoor sports activities will be banned. Outdoors, only up to 20 people will be allowed to participate in competitions, a measure that will badly hit professional sports such as soccer. Oh dear. Yeah, it's very sad. Sad news. But at least it sounds like they're working through it. At least it looks like there's hope there for the Czech Republic. Of course, The Guardian also has a take on this, saying that a new peak of 8,000, they give us some hard numbers, a new peak of 8,618 cases was recorded on Friday in the country of 10.7 million, up more than 3,000 on the previous day, and significantly more per capita than any other European state. Spain, with a population of just under 47 million and currently the second worst infected country, documented 12,788 infections on the same day. So, it's challenging, but it's this. There's lots of stuff just ripping through Europe right now. If we jump down to the Ukraine, the AP has a story here. Coronavirus infections in the Ukraine began surging in late summer, and the ripples are now hitting towns like Stebnik in the western part of the country, where Dr. Natalia Stetsik is watching the rising number of patients with alarm and anguish. Hi, Harry Larry. I really like your show. I'm glad you're tuned in. It's incredibly difficult. We're catastrophically short of doctors, says Stetsik, the chief doctor at the only hospital in the town of 20,000 people. It's very hard for a doctor to even see all the patients. The hospital is supposed to accommodate 100 patients, but it's already stretched to its limit, treating 106 patients with COVID-19. Early in the pandemic, Ukraine's ailing healthcare system struggled with the outbreak, and authorities introduced a tight lockdown in March to prevent hospitals from getting overwhelmed. The number of cases slowed during the summer, but began to rise again quickly, prompting the government at the end of August to close Ukraine's borders for a month. Despite that, the number of positive tests continued climbing quickly and reached a new daily peak of 5,397 on Thursday. Overall, COVID-19 in the Ukraine have nearly doubled in the past month, topping 244,000. All right, so let's keep on rolling. Now, this isn't COVID-related, but we're still running around Europe looking at the news there. France 24 is reporting a savage attack on police station near Paris sparks call for government action. So dozens of people, armed with fireworks and metal rods, besieged a police station outside Paris early Sunday, authorities said, prompting new calls for tougher government action after a string of attacks on France's security forces. No one was injured in the latest attack. Two police officers were on a cigarette break outside the station in Champigny-sur-Marne, around 12 kilometers east of Paris, when the assailants suddenly converged shortly before midnight. The officers barely managed to barricade themselves inside when the crowd began attacking the entrance in several police vehicles, while others launched a barrage of powerful fireworks against the building. No injuries were reported, but the city's mayor, Laurent Jean, told AFP the police might have been targeted in retaliation for a recent scooter accident allegedly caused by police, which has not been proven. So, they released a video on Twitter, if you want to read that, or you can get further details about the thoughts about it there. But that's happening in France. We jump over to The Guardian, and we'll look at just a bit broader. This is in their biodiversity section. And the tagline here is, trillions of dollars of GDP depend on biodiversity, according to a Swiss report. It looks like there might be a typo, because it says Swiss re-report. So, one-fifth of the world's countries are at risk of losing their ecosystem, risk of their ecosystems collapsing because of the destruction of wildlife and their habitats, according to an analyst by the insurance firm Swiss Re. Oh, Swiss Re, I guess that's an abbreviation for something. Ooh, what do we got here? Shampoo banana. That sounds exciting. Banana shampoo would smell good. The bees would probably attack you, though. Do you remember that? There used to be a shampoo called Herbal Essences. I don't remember if it's still around, but man, any time I used it, the bees and the bugs would just flock to my head. And so I never used it after that. That was a weird high school memory that just popped up. Anyway, natural services such as food, clean water and air, and flood protection have already been damaged by human activity. More than half of global GDP, which is $42 trillion, or 32 trillion pounds, depends on high-functioning biodiversity, according to the report, but the risk of the tipping point is growing. Countries like Australia, Israel, and South Africa rank near the top of Swiss Re's index of risk to biodiversity and ecosystem services, with India, Spain, and Belgium also highlighted. Watch out, X1. Countries with fragile ecosystems and large farming sectors, such as Pakistan and Nigeria, are also flagged up. So, very interesting. Go on to call out the dangers of collapse of ecosystems and how that's going to screw with things. Of course, we got to keep talking about the pandemic because that's a big, big exciting thing. And then we're going to listen to a song because we got there's too many world news stories. We can't make it through them all. Our friends at the World Socialist website, you know, that whiskeysierra.org, WSWS.org, as pandemic surges worldwide, governments resist new lockdowns to step up back to work drive. Past week has seen a substantial shift in the number of new cases of COVID-19 globally. Over the weekend, new highs approaching 360,000. Yeah, collapse. Bad. Case of COVID-19 globally. Over the weekend, new highs approaching 360,000 daily cases worldwide were recorded. The upward trajectory was already evident last month under conditions where all governments had launched drives to reopen the schools and campuses with no serious safety measures in place, no approved vaccines, and no serious safe measures in place and no containment of the pandemic. The result has predictably been a surge in infections and death, but the capitalist governments deemed the reopening of the schools as essential to forcing workers back onto the job and increasing corporate profits. Welcome, Ouroboroso. Welcome, welcome. Globally, there are at least 37.7 million cases and 1.08 million deaths. Active cases now number over 8.3 million, which indicates that the present transmission rate remains remarkably high. Then we have a grim photo of cemetery workers placing crosses over a common grave for several who had passed away in Brazil. So, whereas over the summer the U.S., Brazil, and India accounted for the highest number of new cases over the last 2 weeks, Europe has seen an even more rapid rise in new infections at levels far higher than those experienced by Europe previously. Spain, France, and the U.K. now equal the U.S. in daily new confirmed cases per million. Oh, yeah, the World Socialist website is WSWS.org, and since I have an accent, I always try and say it phonetically, too, in case anybody wants to try and find them later. I got to tie this tied in, so I got to mention it. UK is unveiling, this is from the AP, UK unveils three-level lockdown plan. Liverpool's at the highest risk. Hey, Fuentes, and hi, Aretsu, welcome back. The British government carved England into three tiers of coronavirus risk on Monday in a bid to slow a resurgent outbreak, putting the northern city of Liverpool into the highest risk category and shutting its pubs, gyms, and betting shops. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the three-tier national system was designed to simplify and standardize a confusing patchwork of local rules of what residents can and cannot do. Johnson said shops, schools, and universities would remain open in all areas. He told lawmakers in the House of Commons that the goal was to save lives and prevent hospitals becoming overwhelmed without shuttering our lives in society. So, that's kind of how that's going. I can't really go through much more world news. It's just makes you sad and grumpy, and then you don't want that. You want to be a happy go lucky. You know, you want to feel good. You know, keep on going, all that kind of stuff. But that's all good. I got a song for us. We got to talk to Willie Nelson. Oh man, he's a good guy. He's a good singer. Now, I don't remember this song, so I'm going to play it. It's called Sioux City Sue. This is from Willie Nelson and Leon Russell. This is off of a record, so... Oh, welcome, Publius.
Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue.
I swap my horse and dog for you. Man, this tea smells so good.
There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue.
I drove a herd of cattle down from old Nebraska way.
It's like butter.
That's how I come to the end, the state of Iowa way. And I met a girl in Iowa way, her eyes were big and blue. And I asked her what her name was, and she said Sioux City Sue.
Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue. I swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue.
To Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. It's a fun little song, fun little ditty. I really like Willie Nelson. Leon Russell's an interesting cat. A lot of the country western folks have weird histories and lots of interesting takes on things. I wasn't really into country at all until maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So, what do you know? Life's change, taste changes. I made it. If you want it, I'll send it to you, Publius. I gave somebody some money on the internet, and they gave it to me. But same difference. I'll send it to you. Alright, let's keep on a rolling. It is time. I've got some stories for you.
It is time for tech news.
That's right. It's tech news time. So, first up, you guys who are into religion may find this interesting. Yep, exactly right. So an Italian teenager who used the internet to spread his faith is on a path to becoming a Catholic Church's first millennial saint. That's right. Carlo Acutis, who died of leukemia in 2006, age 15, has already been dubbed the patron saint of the internet. On Saturday, he was beatified at a ceremony in the town of Assisi and moved one step closer to sainthood. The teenager recorded purported miracles online and helped run websites for Catholic organizations. Cutis was placed on the path to sainthood after the Vatican ruled he had miraculously saved another boy's life. The church claimed he interceded from heaven in 2013 to cure a Brazilian boy who was suffering from a rare pancreatic disease. He's believed to be the youngest contemporary person to be beatified, the last stage before sainthood. So, very interesting. Beatified. Oh, beatified. Not beautified. I don't know. It's beatified. Interesting. I always said beautified, but I guess there's no U in there. Beatus, blessed. I'm glad. See, this is where calm comes in handy. Thanks a lot. Beatified, to Latin beatus, blessed, not deified. Beautiful. Thank you very much. So let's keep on going because we are still talking about.
Is it time for tech news?
We're still talking about that tech news. Let's get close. We're skipping over some stories. Boop, boop, boo. No. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that because that's a good story. Boop. Boop. Here we go. Facebook is going to ban content that denies or distorts the Holocaust. That's right. Facebook picking up the mantle of saying the Holocaust was bad only, you know, 50 years too late. Facebook Incorporated said on Monday it was updating its hate speech policy to ban any content that denies or distorts the Holocaust. The move comes 2 years after Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg said in a 2018 interview with tech website Recode, said that while he found Holocaust denial deeply offensive, he didn't think Facebook should delete such content. Ah, welcome, Keith Hulu. Oh, man. I've struggled with the tension between standing free for expression and the harm caused by minimizing or denying the horrors of the Holocaust, said Zuckerberg, who is Jewish, in a Facebook post on Monday. My own thinking has evolved as I've seen data showing an increase in anti-Semitic violence, as have our wider policies on hate speech, he said. Beatified. Not beautiful. Beatified. Beatified. This is the straw that suddenly got people out. Oh yeah, good call, SMJ. Don't forget, so I'm 1900, then at 1930, every dang day, you got Tobe, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and that show is a blast, and it's coming up really quick. Oh, yeah, we gotta keep on reading stories. Don't just start reading calm, Marcus. Well, get this. TheIndependent.co.uk, The Independent's reporting a new asteroid identified last month is now believed to be junk from a failed moon landing. Yep, sad news. An asteroid spotted by a Hawaii telescope last month and added to the official tally of May. In fact, be space junk from a failed moon landing 54 years ago. Okay, the robots screwed that one up. Anyway, the object known as Asteroid 2020 SO, like Sierra Oscar, is heading towards our planet and will be captured by Earth's gravity in mid-November. It will spend about 4 months circling Earth, experts believe, before shooting back out into its own orbit around the Sun next March. But NASA's leading asteroid expert said he now believes it's not an asteroid. He believes it's part of a rocket. I'm pretty jazzed about this, said Paul Chodas, told the Associated Press. It's been a hobby of mine to find one of these and draw such a link, and I've been doing it for decades now. Chodas speculates that the object is actually the Centaur upper rocket stage that successfully propelled NASA's Surveyor 2 lander to the moon in 1966 before it was discarded. The lander ended up crashing into the moon after one of its thrusters failed to ignite on the way there. The rocket, meanwhile, swept past the moon and into orbit around the sun as an intended junk, never to be seen again. Until now. Last month, scientists in Hawaii came across the unexpected junk while doing a search intended to protect our planet from doomsday rocks. So it was added to the International Astronomical Union's Minor Planet Center's tally of asteroids and comets, just 5,000 shy of the 1 million mark. So, sad news. I guess it's kind of cool. The guy who found it likes looking for space junk, even though, you know, it wasn't an asteroid. So, pretty rad. Oh, man. There's only 5 minutes to go. 4 or so to go. I gotta adjust my clock. Boop. 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 All right. Four. Scoot a little bit. All right. Cool. I have been playing with my automatic timer, and I think it's on point. We'll see, because it'll interrupt me whenever it's the end of the show. All right. Let's keep on rolling. We got lots of stuff going on. One of the ones that I wanted to be sure and address, even though it was at the end, because it was a I was going east to west in the world news stories, and so I didn't get to North Korea, but this was really special. Reuters, The Guardian, and Fair Observer all had articles about North Korea. Reuters is reporting here. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un became visibly emotional during a speech at a military parade over the weekend as he thanks troops for their sacrifices and apologized to citizens for failing to improve their lives. At a speech on Saturday during celebrations to mark the 75th anniversary of founding its ruling Workers' Party, Kim thanked thousands of gathered troops for responding to recent damaging storms and for helping to prevent a coronavirus outbreak in the country. In video footage edited and released by the state television station, Kim appeared tearful at one point, seemed to choke up. Kim said he was grateful that not a single North Korean had been infected with the virus, a claim the U.S. and South Korean officials have previously cast doubts on. The impact of anti-coronavirus measures, international sanctions, and several typhoons combined to prevent the government from following through on promises to improve citizens' lives, Kim said. My efforts and sincerity have not been sufficient enough to rid our people of the difficulties in their life, he said. Our people, however, have always believed and absolutely trusted me and supported my choice and determination, whatever it is. We only got a couple minutes to go, but of course, we got to go from one tyrannical leader to another, and that's when we're going to talk about our dear leader and president, President Trump. Oh, what's happening? Oh, well, President Trump says Republicans still want a coronavirus aid deal, but some GOP lawmakers are wary of more spending. The latest beefed-up White House offer on a new coronavirus package hit resistance from both Democrats and Republicans over the weekend, deflating hopes that a bipartisan agreement was imminent. Oh, welcome JNS and Zeptar. Wow! Tobe is going to be on in just a couple minutes. Democrats criticized the nearly $1.9 trillion offer from Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin as insufficient, particularly in its funding and strategy for coronavirus testing and tracing. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, balked at the offer's cost and its proposed examination of the Affordable Care Act. So this is pretty wild stuff going on. Oh, looks like we got time to cover a couple more stories. There's so many. I'm going to post a link on Mastodon. I think I figured out a way how to post links to all my stories that I read. All right, we're going to say... The Guardian's reporting Trump claims he's COVID immune as he aims for a barrage of rallies in swing states. Yeah, that's right. Donald Trump's claimed he no longer has coronavirus and is now immune to COVID-19 as he prepares to return to the campaign trail on Monday for a barrage of rallies in swing states in his pursuit of a second term in the White House. Numerous opinion polls have continued to show the U.S. president trailing his Democratic challenger Joe Biden by a significant margin. Oh, hey, what do you know? It worked. Thanks a lot. I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
It's time for the Dubious Goals Committee!
Seven.